Hi, and welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be both encouraged and challenged to step into what God has in store for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
And I'm starting this series this morning called Multiply, and that's one of the things that I believe God is calling us. It's to disciple, raise up the next generation. And it's not only for the younger generation, it's for all of us. I believe that God has a plan for us. God has a plan for this church. Like, we all know, and we've said that so many times, that we have a call, that we were made with purpose and significance, right? At the same time, we got to believe that as we have a call, we are also put into a body that has a call, and we're called to fulfill our calling in the context of the local church, where we're working together to fulfill this great commission, to see the lost, to see the prodigals, to see people be loved and experience God for themselves. Amen? So we invite you to pray, continue to pray for this, to see our church be what it's called to be. I believe it's kind of a turning of a page. God has done so much awesome stuff in the past, but I believe that what we're doing today, it's kind of a turning a page. We're going to another level. And so what we want to see is we want to see the church multiply. And I believe in 10 years from now, the landscape of this church will change. It will not be like it is now. I believe in 10 years from now, we will have multiplied. And I'm excited for that. And it can only happen as we come together. Awesome. So I would ask you to stand and we'll go to God's Word. Father, you're so amazing. You're so good. Faithful in all of your ways. And we stand before you and we thank you so much for your grace and your affection for us. We thank you so much that you know us, that you love us, and you want us to draw close to you. And I just pray, Father, that you would bless each person here, that you would bless our visitors, that you would move upon us in a special way. You know exactly where we are. You know where I am. You know where each person is. And your desire is to reveal yourself and be known in this special way. So, Father, I just pray that our hearts would be open to receive your word, that something would happen inside of us, that our hearts would be challenged, stirred up for you and for your kingdom. So have your way as we break your bread, the word, and we ask you to reveal what we need to see and understand in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, yeah, so we're starting this series called Multiply, and the focus is on to see the church multiply, for us to enter in our calling. And if you look at the first place where we see multiply, it's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, "And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heavens, and over all living things that moves on the earth." What we find here is God blessing Adam and Eve, and inviting them to multiply and to procreate and to fill the earth. The purpose of that was to fill the earth and fulfill the hearts, the desire that Father had was to have a relationship with us, humanity. So that was their mandate, go and multiply. So this is the first place where we see multiplication. Little later on in history, and as we look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14, where it gives a snapshot of the life of Abraham, it says, saying to Abraham, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." So God is saying to Abraham, "I will multiply you. I want you to multiply." And the purpose of that was to create a nation where they would receive the law and to teach the people that they were not able to follow the law by themselves, but they needed redemption. It was to set the stage for the coming of the Messiah. So God, in his heart, wanted them to multiply, Abraham to multiply, to create a people, the Israelites, where the Messiah would come, where he would become the Savior of the world. So another place where we see multiplication. The third place we see multiplication is found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And it says, "And Jesus came and said to them after his resurrection, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Do you see here, there's the third mandate, the mandate of the church to multiply. And he says, go into all the world and make disciples. He doesn't say to the church, preserve yourself or hide or stay glued together. He says to the church, go and multiply. So that's the mandate that we have as a church. It hasn't changed. We have this mandate to multiply. And the purpose of that is to see people be reconciled with God, to see the brokenness because of sinfulness, because of the gap that is between us and God. It's to bridge this gap through the church, that we are the ambassadors for God, to see other people, to see the nations come to this awesome experience of knowing Father, right? So what we want to be as a church, and when it comes to the calling of the church, is to be that bridge. Can you tell your neighbor that you want to be that bridge? I want to be that bridge. It says in John 17, verse 15, and Jesus is praying to the Father in regard of his disciples, and he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. So the goal of Jesus was never for us to be outside of the world, but we are in the world, but we're not from the world, right? But the thing is, we need to realize and we need to understand that we have a mandate and we have a calling. And I would like to unpack that this morning, that when it comes to multiplication, we understand the multiplication of Adam and Eve. We understand the multiplication of the people, the Israelites. We also have to understand the multiplication of the church, what God wants to do. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So you see here the mandate that Jesus shared with his disciples, that you will be witnesses. And he invited them to go to the upper room and to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to the call of the ministry. You know, when it comes to grace, when it comes to Jesus, there's so many benefits, right? And sometimes we forget the benefits of Jesus. Sometimes we fall asleep in the light, like Keith Green says. Sometimes we forget how much we're loved. Sometimes we forget that our name is written in the book of life, that we have a hope in the future. Sometimes we forget that we are the habitation of God, that Holy Spirit dwells in our life. Sometimes we forget that the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we get caught in our trouble. We get caught in this rat race, and we forget the benefit of the cross. And so we need to realize that we are blessed by God. It says in the gospel that freely we receive, freely we are called to give. And I believe when it comes to life, we're always called to receive, right? I like what Spurgeon says, we have holes, we leak, right? We need to be renewed by God. We need his touch. We need his healing. We need his restoration, right? We need to see him come and repair stuff in our hearts. We all have a past, right? We all have a history. We all have failures. We all failed at one point. So we need Christ to come and repair, right? We need to see Christ come and heal us. So when it comes to receive freely, it's an ongoing process, and we want to continue to receive freely, right? But at the same time, it says give. So it's not just receiving, but it's also giving. Like we sang this morning about God breaking the chains, right? We sang about seeing the deliverance that comes from the Lord. And I believe that when we sing that from our hearts and we verbalize this and we turn to God, I believe that we can experience freedom. I think that when we worship God, it's not just to fill time. I really believe that we're setting a platform up for God to come and work in our lives. So when we sing and we sing these songs, free me, God, bring liberty in my heart and set my heart free, I believe that God comes and is able to do that. I believe that as we come together and we do this, we leave differently. That's pretty amazing, because this is what we believe what the Father does. But at the same time, I need to realize that God has called me also to live in victory, and that God has called me to go with a message that I have a hope in a future, for others, that if I rephrase this, I'm able to carry hope in a future for others. So when it comes to multiply, I need to involve myself in this, and I need to see myself part of that. I like what it says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, verse 3. It says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. I like this, right? So we come and drink deeply of the fountain of salvation. So I'm called to come and drink of that fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you will sing. It refers to the Messiah, to Jesus. Thank the Lord. Praise his name. Look what it says after. Tell the nation what he has done. It's just, it bubbles up, right? You come and drink, and if you go to Israel, and I had the chance to go to Israel a few weeks ago, it's a dry land. Like, people fight for wells. Like, when's the last time you fought in your neighborhood for a well? You know, they fight for wells. And you see that in the life of Abraham and Isaac. There's battle for well. Water is life, and there's a lack of water. So here it says that there's a fountain that we find in God. You can drink of this deep fountain of salvation. But it says in the end of the verse, tell the nation what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. And that's the call, right? We come and drink, and we want other people to drink. We can't keep it to ourselves. So what we need to realize is that we have this awesome treasure. Can you tell your neighbor that you have this awesome treasure? I've got this awesome treasure. And at the same time, I have this unbelievable responsibility and calling. I have this calling and this responsibility to go and make disciples, to multiply. The challenge with this is that I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. Like, I remember flying a few weeks ago, and we had to go overseas, and when we went to Israel, and there was someone that was beside me that was not an unbeliever. And, you know, my thought was, God, I just want to sleep. Like, you know? And you say, God, stir my heart up. Fill me of your spirit. Because in the natural, I don't want to share my faith. I don't want to experience rejection. You know, you start this conversation, and you're stuck with the same person for the next 10 hours or so. You know, I don't want to be miserable. You're self-conscious. You're focused on self-preservation. One of the things I realize when it comes to making disciples, one of the things I need to know when it comes to multiplication, I can't do it. I just can't. This is why Jesus said to his disciples to go into the upper room so that he would receive power, because he knew that it was not a program, it was not a strategy, it was not 1-3 that would bring the nation to him. It was because of the power of the Spirit. So the reality is, when it comes to make disciples or to multiply, we have to realize that we can't do it. We need to admit that we can't do it. We need to admit that we're caught by fears and we're caught by things of this world that really, when it boils down to, I can't. So I need to come before God. I need, in the morning or whenever you do this, or during the day, it's to call to the Lord and say, God, fill me of your spirit. I want to multiply. You've placed this call on my life to multiply. You've called me to share this good news. I've got this treasure and you want me to give it away, but I can't. I can't. Fill me up with your spirit. I really believe, listen to this, I really believe that God wants to bring us to the next level as a church, and that involves me and you. And when it comes to my own life, I don't know, I've been doing this for a few years now, and you've heard me say this more than once. I don't want to play church. I don't want to go into through a circle. I don't want to count the chairs and see how much the numbers that we have. It has to be bigger than that, right? So I say, God, our call, our mandate is to reach our world. Our mandate is to multiply. But God, I can't. I just can't do it on my own. Come and invade my life. Come and fill me up of your spirit. If you look, for example, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul talks about his own testimony. He says, the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ compels me. I can't. In the flesh, I don't even want to share my faith. in myself, I don't really want it until the love of God takes a hold of my heart. So what I need to see when it comes to my life, the change that needs to happen in my life is I need to have God's heart. The change that needs to happen in my life, it's to have an encounter with God, a thirst for God, and a desire to see my heart change. Because when it comes to my own heart, it's selfish, self-pleasing, it focuses on me. So I need to see a heart change. So I can't make that on my own. I need to see God move me. I need to be moved by God. And I believe that if as a church, me and you, listen, me and you would seek the Lord and say, God, give me your heart. Give me your heart for my workplace. Give me a heart for those around me, for my neighbors. Give me a heart. And we're desperate about it, and we're sincere about it, and we cry to the Lord, give us a heart to multiply. Give us your heart. I believe there's going to be a transformation that's going to happen in our lives. Like I said, we could teach you 1, 2, 3, how to share your faith with your fingers. This means this, this means that. It's cool to have techniques, but the bottom line, it's what's in your heart. I like what Jeremiah says in chapter 20, verse 9. It says, there's a fire in my bones. I cannot contain it. I can't hold it in. I have to speak out. Because you know what? It's inside. It's inside. So what I need to have a heart transplant. I need to have God's heart. And my prayer is as we go forward as a church and as you fulfill your calling, it's to have God's heart. The reality is my life is short. It's passing by. And the life of people around me is short. And we live in a particular time. The landscaping of our world or of our nation is changing rapidly, so there's a need to respond. And the only way I can respond is when I put my heart out there before God and I let God touch my heart and move me. And when that happens, I think that a fear is overridden, right? A fear loses control, I'll say it this way. Where you're not controlled by fear and self-preservation, it's your heart is beating. You've probably been there at one point where you got to do something because your heart is beating, because you feel compelled, right? And I believe this is how God wants us to feel and be when it comes to our world. He wants us to multiply. He's called us to multiply. And what we need to do is to come before God and say, God, give me a new heart. Empower me with your Holy Spirit. Secondly, it's not something we can avoid or we can disregard. I can't look at Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and say it's not for me. It's just for a selected few. I can't disregard it. I can't ignore it. Because the reality is people are in need of the gospel. You know, I have the remedy for spiritual leprosy called sin. I have the remedy for spiritual leprosy. I don't know if you know about leprosy, but it's a nasty sickness. It eats your body slowly. You become numb. You hit your foot and you're not even aware of it. And then you lose a toe and you're not aware of it. Your body becomes numb and after that it gets to your organ and you die. And sin in the Bible is leprosy is a symbol of sin. That's what sin does. It kills you slowly. And we have that remedy. It's like, for example, you have the remedy for cancer, but you only keep it to your kids. It would be totally wrong, right? For sure you want to give it to your kids, but you want to give out that remedy. And we have that remedy in our back pocket, and that's called Jesus Christ, the one that gives grace, that changes hearts, that changes lives. And so we have this remedy. That's why we can't stay quiet. We have this remedy. We have this key to unlock prison doors. We have keys in our pocket that is able to open prison doors. I remember many years ago, me and my wife, we went to the doctor's office and we were waiting for the doctor. And we met this lady that was sitting there and we could see that she was unhappy or she was going through a rough go. And we were able to talk to her just for a bit because, you know, you're waiting to go see the doctor and our name came up. And so later on in the week, I saw her, she was walking near our house And I was driving, and we had a car that you had to go like this to get the window down. Remember those cars, right? So I went like this, and I said to her, "Are you okay?" And she started to cry. I didn't know what to do. So I said, "Hey, why don't you come home? Micheline is home, and you know, we'll talk." And she came home, and she gave her life to the Lord. Like, I'm just shortening the story here. She gave her life to the Lord. But at one point in that journey, she saw, Valerie was just a little baby. I don't know where she is. She's here somewhere. Just a little baby, and I had her on my lap. And this girl wasn't comfortable to see Valerie on my lap, because for her, when she grew up, when she was on someone's lap, it's because she was sexually abused. She didn't know what love was all about. She didn't know what love was. She was raised in a situation in a context of abuse, and she was rejected and used all her life. And she came to the love of a father. It rocked her world. All this time, I had this key in my back pocket. It wasn't complicated. We just shared our testimony, our journey. You know, it was not, I didn't have to have the degree behind my name. I just told my story. And it touched her because she was broken and she needed help. You see, we have keys that can open cells. And sometimes we don't realize we go and we do life, and there's people that are in prison, and we hear ka-ting, ka-ting, ka-ting in her back pocket, and we have that key. If we would only dare, right? So this is why it comes back to what I said earlier. Father, give me a heart. Come on, give me a heart, Lord. Fill me of your spirit and give me a heart for those that are around me. You know, we have a home for the orphans and the broken, and that is the Father's love. We have a message that is unmatched. The good news, the message of hope. We have an answer for the search of happiness. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Look what it says. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Here it says that God has placed eternity inside of us. When you study history, when you look at the nations, whatever tribes or tongue, they all have gods. Why? You can't really find a tribe that doesn't have a god. Even in the Amazon right now, there's some tribes that are left alone and they worship stuff. You know why they do? It's because they were created for eternity. There's this longing for eternity, a longing to worship, a longing for God. And this is where we stand in the way and we say, hey, this is Jesus, the God that loves you. You know this, you know the toy that maybe some of you grew up with? It was red and blue, and then you put some yellow forms in it. Do you remember this? And your kid would chew on that. And then it's like there was a form of a star, and you would have the yellow star, and it would go in, and then you would pull the thing, and then all the shape would fall. Well, the thing is, we have the perfect shape for every heart, and that shape is Jesus. And people are trying to force a shape in that ball, and it's not working. It's not working, and they're miserable, and they're unhappy, and they know there's a void, so what they try very hard, it's to put that piece in that thing, because that's how God programmed them to be. It's in their DNA. They were made to seek a higher power. They were made to seek something to fill the void, so they're trying and trying, and it doesn't work, and boom, you come in with a piece, and you share that piece, and then click. They were made for that. Fills a void. How many times we hear about people that are searching and lost and they discover Christ. And they say, especially when they're a little older, if I would have known that when I was younger, right? So Jesus knows exactly the peace, what we need in our lives, and we are carrier of that peace. So, you know, God has a plan. When we went to Israel, we went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and sepulchre is kind of the tomb where Jesus died. They say that, in this place, they believe this is where Jesus died, and they built a church on Calvary. And when we were there, we looked around, it was something to see, like the church was built 400 years AD, so it's very old, it was destroyed, rebuilt, and all that, but the foundation is from that era. And when I went home, I was kind of disappointed that I didn't study all around, because there's a lot of little churches around. I didn't study what was around that location. And I came across, like I was looking at archaeology finds, and what I found was pretty intriguing, and I did some reading on that. In the time of Adrian, when the temple was destroyed, 70 AD, Israel was totally destroyed. It was burnt down. It's the worst destruction that they've ever experienced in their history. It was burnt down. And so what happens now is they dig, and they showed us some place where it was underground, like places that you, I don't know how many feet, but higher than the roof here, where they dig and they dig, and they go to the first century. And what they did is they dug. They went to the first century, and they found this inscription in the time of Adrian. So that would be around 100 BC, AD or close to that. They found this inscription written in stone. "Yes, Lord, we will go." He found this. It was in stone, the early church. "Yes, Lord, we will go." You know, it just grabbed me in the inside. From the get-go, they had this calling. Yeah, and they responded, "Yes, Lord, we will go. Yes, Lord, we will go." And we're 2,000 years later, and we're the fruit of that. And God is calling us to multiply. "Yes, Lord, we will go." Beautiful, beautiful statement. "Yes, Lord, we will go. God, I want to go." And that is the heart of Father God. God is still on this mission. And you look at Jesus when he came here. It says about him in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, that he was a friend of sinners and tax collector. We know that he didn't walk in sin. We know that he didn't sin. And we know that he didn't do life like a tax collector. A tax collector was for basically a Jew that turned on his people and worked for the Roman Empire to collect taxes. And the way he did money is by charging more. So I don't think they were liked, right? So Jesus is mocked by the Pharisees as a friend of sinners and a friend of tax collector. But you see the heart of God? To multiply, to reach out. He was criticized for that. And actually, that was his mission. That was the heart of Father God. And his mission is still on today. Can you tell your neighbor that the mission is still on today? God never told us that he changed plans. God never said, "Oh, by the way, I'm changing my plan. It's not what I have. It's not what is before my eyes anymore." It's the same. Same thing. And the mission never changed, and it's still on. You know, it's our delegated authority or responsibility and calling to go forward. You know, as a church, we got to make it hard for people to go to hell. We got to make it hard for people to go to hell. Like, God, how can we make it hard for people to go to hell? God, what do you want us to do? Should be driven by this. Should be driven by the desire of God. How can I make it hard for my neighbors to go to hell? How can I make it hard for this province to go to hell? God, what do you want me to do? And I believe it's as we go before God and we ask for his heart and we seek his face to be empowered by his Holy Spirit, because when we take a hold of this vision and this calling that we will go, I just pray that would happen inside of us, right? The danger of the church is to be passive, to settle, to be content, to look at the chairs at our field and say, "Hey, we have arrived," and we compare with other people. That's not what God has in store for us. I believe that God wants to give us he wants to change our DNA. And I pray as we go forward in the next year, there would be a change in our DNA as a church, that we will develop a culture where we will say, "God, we will go." That from small groups to every ministry, that we would want to have a desire to multiply and reach. That we would not be sedentary. And you know, at one point, the church in the early go, they experienced the filling of the Spirit, and it was great, and they were staying in Jerusalem, and God permitted persecution. It forced them out. God's plan was for the church to go out. Listen to this. God has never planned us just to stay together. God has planned us to multiply. And the calling of our church is to multiply. And it has to be organic. It has to be normal. It has to become natural. One last time, can you say to your neighbor that you want it to become organic? It has to be organic. It's not based on a program. It's not based on a system. It's part of you. It's your DNA. It's organic. It's part of you. You want to see that happen. You want to see that happen. You live life with a margin where you want to see God use you on a regular basis, on a daily basis. The church is on a mission, and our mission is to multiply. And how do we see this? And I've got, if you have my notes in the bulletin, I have 8 things, and I'll share them briefly. By changing my mindset, that it's not about me, where I pray God change my mindset. I say to the partnership class, you know, if in 15 years, rap music, it's what people are listening to, and then I've got to adjust. I don't like rap music. I don't know if you like rap music. Hopefully it's going to be 25 years in the future. But what if in 15 years or so, it's what reaches the next generation? Am I willing to adapt? Am I willing to change for the cause of the kingdom? Am I driven for multiplication by multiplication? Am I driven by multiplication? And I think it should be the drive of the church to multiply, to reach out, to see others come to the Lord. So there's a change of mindset. When I live for myself, when I fight for my rights, I'll never have a focus. I will never have the focus of multiplication. What I need to see in my life, I need to see the lost soul and prodigals and the mission or God's kingdom beyond my comfort. Secondly, I got to make time and being available, and that's to live life with margins. And how many of you are busy? Stupid question, right? How many of you are too busy? That's another stupid question, right? But good thing we have technology, though, right? It really helps us out. That was kind of a joke. But we got to live life with margins. And I shared about that not too long ago. That when we do life, we got to give room for margin, a margin where God, what do you want to do? We get up in the morning and we know that we have things to do, right? We have responsibilities. We have a job that we carry. We got feed the mouths that are around us, right? We got to change diapers. We got things to do. But in the process of what we need to do, we are open to what God is saying and what he wants to do. God, I know I have all this. These are all my responsibility, but I'm giving you margin. I'm giving you room for you to work and intervene in my life. And that's a pursuit, right? What I want to sow in your heart and all in the weeks to come is that we would desire to multiply it. That something would happen inside of us, a new passion, a new desire, where we would go beyond the status quo and just go beyond going from A to B, and there would be something that would arise. It's to see the kingdom of God be established on earth and to see people be touched with the gospel. That's what we want to see. And my third point is by being open to the leading and the impression of the Holy Spirit. And I just shared about that. Fourth is by being generous with our resources to say, God, you've blessed me too much to keep it to my, I can't keep it to myself. What you want me to do? My resources to be used for the kingdom. Fifthly? Number five. By submitting our talents and abilities for the cause of the kingdom. God, here's my hands. Use me for your glory. By telling my story, even though it's not finished. I love that one. When you're telling your story, even though it's not finished. You know, you have a story to tell, and people are in need of hearing your story, even though it's not finished, because it's not about really your story. It's about grace. Grace went to get you. Grace is sustaining you, and grace is the one that will keep you in the future. So it's all about what he has done. So you want to tell your story. And seven is you want to live a life of worship where you live for his fame. So when you go out of this place, you live for him so that you're a light not only in words but also in action. And the last point here is that you take it personally. My prayer is that you would take it personally. You remember last week, I kind of set the platform for this. I said, Sometimes we read the Word of God in a general way. We look at Jesus talking with his disciples, and we see him asking his disciple, will you follow me? And we read this disconnected, and we look at the story. Now we are in the story, and Jesus is looking at me, and he says, Are you going to follow me? Are you going to be my disciple? Or do you want to be a fisher of men? Then I look around and say, are you talking to me, Lord? And Jesus is saying, I'm talking to you. Yes, sir. I'm talking to you. So what are you going to say? What are you going to do about it? So we like to personalize the Bible when it comes to his healing and his grace and all this, and we should, but we also have to personalize the Bible when it comes to the great commitment, the great commission. So God wants to use us for his glory. You know, my prayer as we start the school of ministers, well, the discipleship school, and we also have a school of ministers, another thing that we have where we want to train the next generation when it comes to full-time ministry. But as we do this, it's with the purpose of multiplication. It's with the purpose of multiplication. And my prayer is this morning, we would place ourselves before the Lord and say, God, I want to go beyond just living or just existing. I want to be empowered by you, and I want to have your heart. Hey, I believe if we choose to see that, we are embarking in this awesome journey, right? How many of you like to read the book of Acts? I love to read the book of Acts. It's a great journey. But I believe that God has a journey for me, and he has a journey for you too. We just got to jump in the boat. Amen? I would ask you to stand. With all the eyes closed this morning, out of respect for your neighbor, maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've came here many times, but maybe you came with a friend, but you've never committed your life to Jesus. You're disconnected with God. Maybe you heard about him in the past, but right now you're not connected. And I believe that God loves you so much, and he wants to connect with you. He wants to come in your life. But God won't force himself on you. He wants you to open up, and he will come in if you invite him. If you say, yes, God, Jesus, I want you in my life, he's going to come in. I really believe that's the greatest, the most important decision that you'll ever do in your life. It's going to be a decision of breakthroughs. It's going to be amazing. You know, God's going to deposit things in your heart. First, he will come and live in you, and he will release, bring freedom and healing, and give you a life of purpose. That's you this morning. I don't want you to leave without making a decision. That's you. I want you to raise up your hand and say, it's me. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else? Someone else? How many of you are disconnected when it comes to multiplication? You're living your life and you know, others are not in your heart. Father's heart is not beating in yours. And you say, God, give me a heart transplant. Move me this morning by your Spirit. Father, bring me to the next level where I am an ambassador for you, a vessel for you. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand. Yeah, a lot of hands. First, Father, we give you our lives. We choose not to live by our own. We can't do it, Lord. So we ask you to come into our lives. Come into our lives. Come into my life. Be real in me. I acknowledge my sins. I acknowledge my rebellion regarding you. And I repent of my sins. And I invite you to come and wash over me. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I invite you to come and live in me. I want to be your temple. I want to be your house. Father, come and take control of my life. And Father, also give me a heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Open my eyes to the white fields. Open my heart to the calling. God, I acknowledge I can't do it on my own. I need divine intervention. I need divine intervention this morning. Fill me of your Spirit in a new way. and compel me by your love. Like never before, I open the door of my heart, Lord. I pray that you would flood in, that you would fill me up, and that you would give me such a desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Such a desire to see the progression of your kingdom. Such a desire to multiply. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us on the GMC Podcast.